begin. Well, over the summer, we've been looking at what have been called the Songs of Ascents, and they were often used by pilgrims as they headed up towards Jerusalem for one of the great feasts, maybe like the Passover or something like that. So it's a happy time. Maybe you've been on holiday this summer, and we always go to the same place pretty much on holiday down in South Devon, and there's a bit of a ritual to that about, you know, getting all the packing ready and getting the car packed and getting in the car and looking at Google Maps to see what the traffic's going to be like, and then driving nearly 300 miles down to Devon. And it's a wonderful feeling to arrive, isn't it? To finally get to your destination when you've been thinking about traveling, and then you have been traveling, you know, are we near the air yet, and all that kind of thing. And these days you don't want to stop anywhere because you don't want to go into a service station and touch anything at the moment. That's probably got to be one of the best places to pick up COVID, hasn't it? But arriving at last, and we arrived Sunday evening a few weeks ago wonderfully down in Devon, and it's a lovely, lovely feeling, isn't it? Well, just imagine these pilgrims, these Old Testament believers, making their way towards Jerusalem. It's kind of like a super holiday for them. It's where we get our word from, isn't it? A holy day, a holy time for them as they went up to meet with God's people in the temple. And you can imagine the group of pilgrims. There's mum and there's dad. There's a few kids and there's grandparents on both sides, and there's aunts and uncles and cousins. It's a whole group going from their village, maybe from Bethlehem or somewhere like that, up to Jerusalem. And as they travel, they've been singing these songs from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, and we've been thinking about a few of them. And if you've been joining us, whether online or in the building over the summer, we've seen all of life, really, haven't we? We've seen night and day. We've seen coming and going. We've seen joy and sorrow. We've seen sleep and service. We've seen guilt and hope. We've seen the depths of despair and the heights of happiness. We've seen being alone. We've seen being all together. We've seen life and we've seen death. They're wonderful songs to be singing as God's people, even today. And we've been thinking about how in Jesus we're able to do that. But I just want us to imagine this family for now. And they arrive finally in Jerusalem. It's getting a little bit late in the day, and they make their way towards their accommodation. Maybe they're staying with some other relatives in Jerusalem. And you know, it's really time for the kids to go to bed. But the kids are just desperate, after all the travelling, to get to the temple. Dad, can't we go to the temple? Well, it's getting late, past your bedtime. Mum chips in. Oh, it's not going to hurt, really, is it? Come on, if we go now, we'll just be in time for evening prayers. And so off they go towards the temple. The hushed excitement as they get towards the outside gates of the temple and begin to make their way in through the different courts. The sights, the sounds, the smells, even. Across the children's faces come that look of awe and wonder. This is what they've come for. They've arrived at last. And that, I think, is what is summed up in this wonderful little psalm that we're looking at today. But it goes deeper just than travel on one occasion. This actually is about all of life. We've been thinking as Christians, haven't we, that we're on a pilgrimage, like Pilgrim's Progress, towards the celestial city, the heavenly city. We're on that journey as pilgrims in Christ. And this psalm, therefore, is a wonderful one for us to be thinking about for that journey and also looking forward. It goes deeper into our very hearts. That reminder from one of the catechisms that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Where better for Old Testament believers to do that than in the temple? So we're going to follow them as they sing through these three verses. And we see that it is a psalm all about blessing and being blessed. It's a wonderful little psalm. It's beautiful in its simplicity. Sadly, the version we've read has slightly hidden some of that beauty from us. So if you look at verse 3, that probably sounds very familiar to our ears, doesn't it? May the Lord bless you from Zion. Zion was the place, the little hill that the mountain stood on. He who is maker of heaven and earth. We love thinking about the Lord blessing us. We all want the Lord to bless us. We might say that to one another. We might pray that for one another, that the maker of heaven and earth, the one who is in charge of all things, would bless us in our lives. Well, actually, that language is reflected in verses 1 and 2. It's exactly the same word that is used. Our translation says praise, but it really says bless the Lord, same word, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Maybe we're not quite so comfortable with that language. We quite happily think of the Lord blessing us and maybe us blessing other people. But can we bless the Lord? What's that all about? Well, what does it mean for God to bless us? It means he looks down into our lives. He sees what our lives are like. And in summary, they're a little bit of a mess, really, aren't they? And he very favorably and graciously gives us good things, supremely the Lord Jesus Christ and every spiritual blessing that we have in him. It is God reviewing our situation and responding accordingly. He assesses the state of our lives and he blesses us. He gives us good things to help us to become like Christ and to be more like Christ. Well, for us to bless God is in a sense the reciprocal. It is to review who God is and respond accordingly. Now, God is very unlike us, isn't he? He is perfect. He is holy. He is glorious. When we review what God is like, we're blown away by his magnificence. And so what is the right response? Well, God doesn't need anything from us, does he? That kind of blessing, in a sense, is all one way from God to us. We don't need to give God anything. We can't give God anything. But he still loves us to respond to him in delight, in worship, in service. The kind of words that are mentioned in this psalm. The servants of the Lord, ministering in the house of the Lord, lifting up their hands in the sanctuary, the holy place, lifting up their hands in holiness and service of him. That is what it is for us to bless the Lord. We can bless the Lord. And verses 1 and 2 give us that wonderful picture of it, don't they? Joyfully and gratefully acknowledging who God is and being delighted to serve him, to give him our everything for all that he's done for us. If you want some help in doing that, just read the next two psalms, Psalms 135 and 136. Yes, they're in Old Testament language, but they're all about how we can respond in praise to God. Just look at Psalm 136, verse 1, if you've got it there. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. You're seeing who God is. He's the Lord, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and you're responding by giving thanks. That is what it is for us to bless the Lord. A life oriented towards God, where our hearts can cry out, arrived at last. It's the life that we're made for. Life with him. Life enjoying him and glorifying him, as that catechism said. But deep down, we continue to know there's a problem with that, don't we? Sometimes we're maybe quite good at that, at giving thanks to the Lord and delighting in him and worshipping him and serving him. I expect that's why a good number of us want to meet like this, because it's easier to do so together than on our own, isn't it? But we know that that's not true of us all the time. And so once again, we need to go to our choir master, the Lord Jesus Christ, who could sing this psalm with total authenticity and integrity. He did live this way. blessing the Lord and enjoying his blessing. He could rightfully sing or pray this psalm, because only he served the Lord with total commitment. Even C.T. Studd had his failings. He used to look down on other people who hadn't been quite so willing to give up so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and judge them in harsh ways. We may look at his life of service and sacrifice and be astounded by it, but he was far from perfect and would have acknowledged that himself. But the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. He ministered with hands lifted up in holiness. Only he could rightfully enter into the sanctuary, the holy place at the heart of the temple, by his own life rather than through sacrifice. And it was as this perfect blesser of the Lord that he lifted up his hands on the cross for us, so that we, by faith, could enjoy that blessing too, the blessing of his Father, that we might also be able to bless the Lord in him, because we are blessed in him. Just a couple of ways that fleshes itself out in our lives if we are trusting the Lord. It means that we can look forward to future blessing. Sorry, I've not been clicking this. It means we can look forward to that future blessing. The full and final experience of that arrived at last feeling. As we gather with all God's people from throughout time and across the world in the heavenly temple, the true sanctuary, holy place, when we finally will bless and be blessed perfectly. You can see pictures of that in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7, when all of the new creation are gathered round the throne of the Father and of the Lamb, singing their praises, blessing the Lord perfectly, enjoying his presence. That is what it is all about. There's a wonderful little book that sums up what that means for us brilliantly. It's called The Glories of God's Word. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs for us. The essence of eternal life, this life, is not found in having my sins forgiven, in possessing a mansion in heaven, or in having streets of gold on which to walk forever. Rather, the essence of eternal life is intimately knowing God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Everything else that God gives to me in the gospel serves merely to bring me to himself, so that this great end might be achieved. Christ died for the forgiveness of my sins, so that I might be brought to God. Christ is preparing a place for me in heaven, so that he might receive me to himself and have me forever with him where he is. And yes, there is a great street of gold in heaven, but is there any doubt where that street leads? Unquestionably, it leads straight to the throne of God himself, as do all of God's gifts to me in the gospel. As those pilgrims made their way towards the temple, they were excited because they knew they were walking towards that manifestation of the presence of God, where God was seen to dwell on earth. They were walking towards him, in a sense, not just towards a building. And that is what this psalm so wonderfully lays out for us. That we can be blessed from Zion, the heavenly Zion, the true Zion, where God sits on the throne, because he is the maker of heaven and earth. We look forward to that future blessing. But it also means something for now, that we have a blessed life in Christ now. We may, in some sense, sort of envy the Old Testament believers having that temple to go to. We can't go on a pilgrimage towards a physical temple now, but actually we enjoy so much more, because we have God's Spirit living within us, the first fruits of that future blessing, the Bible calls him. We have permanent free access to the throne of God through Jesus' blood shed at the cross and through his Spirit living in our hearts, so that we don't need
to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. We don't need to do that. Because in Christ, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, built on the Lord Jesus Christ as our cornerstone. We started with the excitement of the pilgrims to be in the presence of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Well, actually, that is our permanent state in some ways. The problem is we forget it. We have so much in life that crowds in and causes us to forget that we live all our existence in his presence, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to make time to remember that. Take time out to remember that. To open up his word. Apparently, C.T. Studd used to spend half an hour a day in the morning going through the Bible, finding promises from God and praying about them. And he wouldn't start the day until he had done that. Finding out all that the Lord had done for him and promised him, and praying those promises that God would bring them true in his life. But as I've already said, we do find there is something special about being able to meet as a church. We don't make a pilgrimage to a building. We could meet anywhere. Just happens to be in this building for those of us who are here. That's why, in one sense, those at home aren't missing out on anything. You can meet with us in your living room, sort of remotely, by the wonders of the internet. Because it's not the place where we meet, it is the people who we meet with that are important. And that's what that reading in Ephesians 3 was pointing us to. Let me just remind us of a couple of verses. God's intent was that now, through the church, the people of God, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we meet together as God's people, we're an outpost of that future blessing. We're a foretaste of eternity. So that people who aren't Christians, who maybe come and meet with us, experience something of the blessing of God through us. And more than that, as we head out into the week, wherever that may take us, back to our homes, our streets, those of us going into workplaces now, into schools and colleges as they open up this week, wherever we go this week, we can be servants of the Lord. We can fulfill Psalm 134. We can bless the Lord by being his servants, by ministering by night, by day, wherever we go, because we're permanently, in a sense, in his house. We can lift up our hands in holiness, in his holy place, because we're in Christ, who is the holy place. So we can serve him. We can live the blessed life of blessing God and being blessed by him and being a blessing to others wherever we might go. And as I've come back to Preston this week, to Ashton, after a few weeks away on holiday, after all that's gone on over the last 6 months, I've realised that this is a challenge for us as a church family. The temptation, I think, is to get into more of a maintenance mode mindset. To say, well, we've been in lockdown and there are all sorts of restrictions and it's safe for just to go with the restrictions. Well, we want to be looking for the opportunities by which we can serve the Lord. Not in any sense breaking those restrictions, but working out what freedoms we have within those restrictions and making the very most of them. So please be praying for us as a staff team as we think about what that means for Junior Church, for XDB, our youth group, for Noah's Ark, our mums and toddlers group, for Saturdays, for our church services, for our home groups meeting during the week, for starting a Christianity Explored course. All these things which are normal parts of our church life which have been affected and in some way restricted by all that's gone on over the last 6 months. Because it's going to take effort, it's going to take momentum to build those things up again. And we don't know exactly what the time frame of that is, but we want to be praying that where we have the opportunity, we would remember the Lord's blessing of us above all things. And like C.T. Studd, we would have that inner desire to remember that only what is done for Christ will ultimately last. We ought to bless the Lord by blessing others, because we know that that work will last for all eternity. So please be thinking, please be praying, please be pushing us if you feel we're being too hesitant, reluctant as a staff team or as standing committee and all those kind of things. But together as a church family, we might be thinking how we can live this out in our life today, to live the blessed life as we make our way towards the future blessing that we know is ours in Christ, and nothing can change that. Well, I thought it'd be nice to finish this little series just by saying this psalm together. It's a wonderful sort of end towards our little series. I put it on the screen for us, so those in the church building can say along there. And if you're at home, please do join along as well. But let's say Psalm 134 to one another as we draw things to a close here. So Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Let's say together. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is maker of heaven and earth. And let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful blessing of us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at this term ahead, please would you help us to know the certainty of that blessing in our own lives, to experience that blessing in our own lives day by day, that we might live the blessed life of blessing you in response, and therefore being a blessing to the world around us. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.